Hey, everybody.
Hey. Hi.
We'll edit in right after your previous comment of a minute ago.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure and friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friend.
It was no fun trying to find the sync point for the mouth harp edition last week.
Shoot. It was no fun listening back to it, actually. So, we don't need to do that again.
Just a moment ago, we I don't know how we got on the topic. Oh, I do know now, but topic of church and what you were raised as. Larry, you were raised as a...
I was raised in the Methodist Church, which was great for West Texas because it could have been Baptist and that could have gotten ugly. You know, that gets a little fire and brimstoney, depending on you know, there's Southern Baptists, there are all that. Methodist, you know, people make jokes about it now, and I didn't even realize it until later, but people talk about Methodism as like, you know, it's just kind of like loosey-goosey. It's like, you know, it's whatever you believe, man, it's cool. It was the 70s, so, you know, things were chill, so, which I look back on, and I'm really glad I was in that kind of environment and that it wasn't like some hard and fast.
You cannot petition the Lord with prayer!
Right, right.
The Church of the Lizard King.
Because by the time I got married into a Catholic family, and I'm going to a Catholic mass, and I'm like, oh, y'all take this real serious, don't you?
I know.
Yeah, it's like calisthenics. Kneel down, stand up, bend over, kneel down, sit down, stand up. Yeah, it's you get a workout.
Oh, and the guilt is palpable, man. It's just like,
he died for you. For you. This is your fault.
You walk into church, everybody's just glaring at each other.
And Josh, you were raised in Western Pennsylvania,
right,
as a
Lutheran.
That would have been my guess. That was my first guess.
Yeah. I'll say it again while we're recording. Church sucks. I know.
If you come at it from the perspective of a kid, which is because I haven't really regularly attended any kind of church in a long time, but as a kid, and you were saying, Josh, how long is that service usually?
I was literally trying to figure out, because in my mind, I'm like, I can't tell if those services were 1 hour or 3 hours, because it's been since I've been to church, but I remember them being like, just, it was just like, people were pulling hair out of my head slowly. It just felt like, I'm like, what is he saying?
Yeah,
why are we singing these terrible songs? These songs stink.
An hour doesn't sound like very long. And that is one of the longest hours. Another great thing about being at the Methodist Church was there were two things that motivated our pastor to move things along. One would be I heard people say, to get to the cafeteria before the Baptists, so the line wasn't too long. And the Baptist church, they tended to ramble on, so we could get there like right before noon, and the line at the cafeteria wasn't that long. Two, if it was an early Cowboys game during football season, he got us out at 11:45, sharp. So during NFL season, it was, we were in and out of there pretty quick.
I remember, I was an altar boy. I was raised Roman Catholic. What do they call it in Lutheran? Is it acolyte? What's the name?
I have no idea. I just remember I had to light candles and put on a robe. Yeah, I had to do it for catechism. I had to do like 2 years of some study thing that was just...
Right.
That was...
I remember...
By the way, if you're a person of faith, we support your...
I totally respect everybody's beliefs. I'm just saying the way... My belief is that it stinks.
last week we came out of it with the mouth harp and trying to figure out the tie to Judaism. Yeah. This week we're coming out guns ablaze.
We have a big wheel we spin every week. It says it's like the week of offensiveness. And what are we doing this week, boys? We spin it and be like, religion.
Methodist, Catholic, and Lutheran all in one whacker.
I'm pretty sure anybody listening to this podcast is not the most religious person we know. I'm guessing. I have a feeling that people can relate, because if you were made to go to church when you were growing up, it was generally, I don't remember any 8, 9, 10-year-old who was walking into the congregation going, all right, when do we get to the sermon? I want to sing more hymns. I mean, it's and long. That's boring. Like that's why parents bring candy in their purse to keep you busy and keep you quiet.
And but like even the songs, they'd be like, okay, we're going to sing this hymn. And they'd open your hymn book to page 7,593 because they're all gigantic, thin, super thin paper books. And you're like, everybody's singing, and I'm like, no, nobody knows this song. Don't act like you know this song.
It doesn't matter. You could have, you know, the greatest song in the world. You could have, you know, Hey Jude, and have 150 old women singing it in a warbling, nasty off tune, and it's gonna suck. It's just gonna blow.
The thing is, I don't ever remember singing the same song twice, but yet I feel like I sang the same exact song every time because they were like, I don't know, they were just amen,
boo, Bobby, boo, hallelujah. That's one of my favorites right there. I think that's based on a Handel tune, I believe, or Bach. I'm not sure.
Boo, Bobby, boo. It's a good one.
Bobby, boo.
Turn your hymnals to page 49 for Boo,
Bobby, boo. First and fourth verse, please.
I'm the scat man.
That was the other thing. When there was a football game, you knew that they were in a rush because they would call out the hymn number, and the choir director would go, only first and fourth verse, please. All right, we're cutting it down by 50%. Nice.
Say that while they're looking at their watch.
Moving things along.
I remember I was an altar boy, and I had pretty much had enough of it. You know, I was already starting to not dig religion and not think it was cool.
And, you're really late to the game.
I go up, and I think I'm, you know, probably 13 or 14, you know, something like that. I go up to Father Dant, and I say after church, Father, I've been thinking about it, and I don't think I really want to do the altar boy stuff anymore. He said, well, if it's a schedule thing, we could cut it down. I'm like, no, I just don't want to do it. Don't want to be any part of that. Then later on, I come to find out in recent years, come to read that, of course, one or two of the priests that were involved in our parish one or two of the other ones over the years were involved in some grab ass. And some of that horrible shit that's been going on in the church. So, you know, I don't know. And then I went to college. By the time I got to college, I was pretty fed up with religion and the whole idea that my God's better than your God and you're going to hell because you didn't say the words in the right order. You didn't say it in the right order.
Exactly.
But anyway, how did we start on this?
I don't know. How was your week?
Partially my fault, because I started singing Zumbaya when you were playing guitar while we were warming up.
I sent the link for this Zoom session, and each week, now Josh has made me try to raise the bar and do something
different
every week.
I feel like maybe this is a repeat. I'm thinking maybe this might have been a repeat.
I don't remember this one.
I'm going to dig past some old Gmails, and I think there might be a Zumbaya in there.
Thanks for not appreciating it.
I was going to say, I marvel at the creativity with which you continue to come up with something new and interesting every time.
It's like getting a new magazine every week. You're like, who's on the cover? What's Andy going to say? You know what I mean?
It's like the highlights magazine on page 10, the seek and find with the pictures. I really look forward to it.
I subscribed to Boy's Life. Did you ever read Boy's Life?
Yep.
No.
I was a Boy Scout.
Yeah. It was associated with the Scouts, but it was I looked forward to that every week. And then I discovered that there were other magazines that had more interesting articles in them.
Here's how you do a square knot.
Yeah, did you ever get Ranger Rick? Do you remember that magazine?
No.
There was another magazine called like World. Do you remember that? I think it was called World. It was like for teens and preteens. Ranger Rick was like for preteens.
Was that by Scholastic?
Probably. It was just like, it was like a nature magazine or something.
Oh, well, maybe not.
I think my grandma got it for me.
I remember getting Scholastic Scope.
Maybe that was it. What was that
Scholastic
one?
Scholastic Scope in like middle school. We got that one, and there was always some story in there, like a play. You know, with a bunch of characters, and you could, you know, and the teacher would assign different students, the characters to act out the play in class. I remember one episode, there was a kid who just got turned on to Bruce Springsteen. It was like an after school special, but you read it. You read it in class.
It still exists, Andy.
Does it really?
It's all digital. You can download it to your e-reader or your iPad. Oh my God.
All the kids in class just get out their iPhone.
Yep.
And
scroll through it.
12-year-old kids get out their iPhone and scroll through.
I remember when you got to order books when they had the big book order day.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
And they still got some money from it.
Owen
brings home those forms like once every quarter.
Had to beg for money, and then I always made my mom so mad because I would get like the Mad books, like Mad magazine books.
Yes,
Don
so
Martin.
Good.
They're so good.
I love that.
I love that stuff.
I used to collect.
I wish
those
I still
Mad
had
magazine.
Some of those.
Yes.
Oh,
they have. Did you guys, now, Larry? They have. I've contemplated buying it, but I'm like, you know what? This is going to be one of those things I buy and I look at for 20 minutes and laugh and then like never touch again. But they have at one point in time on CD, every single Mad magazine, like up through 2010 or something like that. And it's like a couple $100, but you can put it all on your computer and get any Mad magazine.
Mad magazine might've been one of the most formative things in my childhood for what my, I mean, I could talk about all sorts of TV shows that I watch, but Mad Magazine gave me my sense of humor. And half the time I didn't know what they were making fun of.
Exactly.
Hadn't seen the movie that they were mocking, but just the writing and the attitude and so many different things going on in there. And I think if you look back at some of those, a lot of it probably still hold up. Those Don Martin cartoons just,
they'd always satire some movie that was just coming out that month. I remember when they did Animal House and there was the drawing of Belushi doing the zit thing. And I'd never seen Animal House, but I was like, this is hilarious. Huh?
Yeah.
I love that magazine. Yeah. And they always had, there was always like one boob in every magazine. So there was always a drawing of one boob.
Yeah, the women tended to be portrayed in a very certain way. I remember the Jaws cover, and it was because it was Alfred E. Newman. Yeah, here it is. Alfred E. Newman swimming in a striped bathing suit, you know, the What Me Worry guy.
Yeah.
And the shark, it looks like the poster and that shark coming up from the bottom, except the shark's tongue is hanging out and the shark is going, yuck. Funny.
That voice you're hearing is the voice of Larry Morgan.
Hi.
Larry P. Morgan. Mm-hmm. And down at the bottom of my screen is Joshua J. Fligger.
I put you at the top of my screen, so.
Oh, that's nice.
It's nice to
know. My name is Andy Chanley, and Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Sure.
Now he's doing the NFL thing. Fellas,
yep.
I got a little piece of good news this week.
Little piece.
Right. Little piece of good news.
Right.
Something I've been holding out for over 200 days now. Mm. It was a little piece of good news where I am, and I'll tell you how this news came to me. I am on a meeting with this company that I do consulting work for, you know, through the week, apart from the radio station, and they have programmers that work around the world, you know, in different time zones. They're in California, they're in Denver and Texas and New York and Ireland and where else?
So they're Poland, around the world, Poland. Is what you're saying.
I want to name everyone.
Okay,
that's
what I thought.
They're in.
Can we guess? Is there one in Liechtenstein? Is there one in Norway?
There's one in tiny Montenegro.
Oh.
There's one. No, they're all over the place. And I am in this meeting with them where everyone has to make a little presentation saying what they're doing that day and what they've been doing. And it just started. And I get a phone call from my doctor, my oncologist, And it's to explain the results that I got on a
Where was your doctor?
Little scan. Well, I have one in Ontario. Oh, okay. I have one in San Bernardino.
Where was this particular
I have
doctor?
One in Flagstaff. I have one in... And so I get this call coming in. And so I take my screen dark, right? And I take the phone call. I'm muted. And I talk to her. And she explains to me what this scan said this previous week. Now, I had read it, but it's, you know, gobbledygook. It's words that I don't quite understand. They sound generally positive. Things like a significant decrease in interval of avidity. I think that's a good thing. But she gets on the line with me, and she had sent me an email saying, or a message saying, this is good news, good news on your PET scan. I'm like, okay, great. Well, then I don't get to talk to her until Thursday morning. And because was just swamped with all sorts of emergencies on Wednesday. Get her on the phone during this meeting. And she said, so yeah, that's a good scan. And you know, you can say you're cancer free.
Nice.
Wow.
Yes, about time.
And I said, wait, what? You buried the lead. This is fantastic.
And they do to draw it out, don't they? They don't want to give it to you up front.
God, my body started to tingle all over. I just had this, because this is what I've been waiting for.
Of
you know
course.
What I mean? It had been going positively. Like I had a scan halfway through the chemo where it came back and said, this thing's almost gone. You know, we're kicking its butt. But then at the end, that scan was like, yeah, almost, but we're not sure, and so forth. So I just had all of these doubts in the back of my mind. And what I could taste, I wanted it so much, was some definitive answer of, you fucked it up. You kicked its ass. It's done. And I hadn't had that, and I was looking for that all this time. And so much, I didn't realize how much was hinging on that. And she says that, and I'm like, well, this is great. I said, what next? And she said, well, you know, we just have to keep a close eye on this for 2 years. And I said, so like another scan around Christmas time? And she goes, yeah. She goes, maybe after Christmas, because I don't like to. That can lead to some anxiety. And I'm like, no, not for me. Let's do it. Let's do it.
You're like, I love this shit. This is great.
Gimme. And she goes, well, how about we do it early in December? I'm like, that sounds great. So early December is my next scan. And I said, hey, one more thing. How about this here port? Wait, you think we can get this thing out?
Oh, yeah. When do I get to lose the USB jack?
I can't sleep. I can't sleep on my right side because that pinches, you know, my chest together. Can't sleep on the left side because it does the same thing, although in a different way. And I'll, hit stuff on it, or my son wants to wrestle and he'll hit it. And I'm like, ugh! So I can't wait to get that out. She goes, yeah, early Christmas present. Well, I'll put in the orders to get that thing out.
Oh.
So I'm excited
can
about
I have
that.
It?
Yeah, you keep it?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring it in a jar. Yeah. All of this happens in the course of like 3 minutes, this conversation. Then I'm done with her. I click back on this meeting that I'm in the middle of, and it's coming around. And these people know my battle, some of it, you know, that I've shared with them because I was diagnosed when, they know all about all of the different steps and so forth. And I haven't bored them with every step of it, but they certainly have been rooting for me and have been very accommodating and all of that. So it comes around to me, and I'm starting to get choked up as it's coming around because I'm digesting this news.
Sure.
And by the time it gets around to me, I'm like, yeah, don't know really what I did yesterday and can't think about what I might do today. And I don't really give a shit because I just got off the phone with my doctor and she said I'm cancer free. And they're all, excited about it and really happy for me. And that was great. Get off the line with them and this meeting is over. And I turn my screen off. I sat here and I cried like a scalded baby. I didn't know hot water burn baby. It was so much built up over the last couple hundred days that I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't, there was no real time to stop down, and I'm going to feel sorry for myself now because that's the healthy thing to do, and let's have ourselves a good, you know, ball. I didn't do that at all throughout the course of this because there was just shit to do. I was busy with work. I was busy with my treatment. I was busy with taking care of the next thing, busy with the family.
You know, you adopted an immediate attitude of, I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to kick this thing's ass. And also, I am never going to portray worry or anxiety to my family and to my kids. You didn't want them to take that burden on. So you put the strong face on it, but there had to have been this building sense of, how is this going to go? There's no guarantee. Could it get better? Could it get worse? Will I always have to deal with it? So you expressed to us how the last time you got a response from a doctor, it was all positive, but not the response you wanted. And just
exactly,
to put you over that precipice, to be able to say that phrase, that's a release that you probably, I assume you cried and then masturbated immediately afterward.
Simultaneously.
Okay.
Either that or started the plans for the second shed. He cried and then felt inspired to build a mega shed.
What was funny,
he actually
is,
built it. It's already built.
See, masturbation and shed building fall very close together in Andy's world.
Not a shed, a tent.
Hello.
You're not far off, actually, because
you don't have to finish that sentence.
Good story, interesting Andy, thing was, moving on.
The shed part or the...
I cried to a point where I couldn't quite tell. And I had this conscious moment where I couldn't quite tell if it was still crying or it was laughing.
Yeah.
It was like that kind of thing where I'm just kind of heaving right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the exact emotion is. But yeah, pretty fucking great news.
Yeah,
and happy to you know, be pushing ahead and get this thing out of my chest.
Is there anything that you've been waiting to do? To, as soon as you got that info, is there something that you were going to do? Or,
well, I mean, once I get this,
once
I get this out, I can I'll feel easier about doing push-ups and stuff. And I feel like then I can, you know, I can bench press and start getting myself back into shape.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
But you know you can, and that's all that matters.
As soon as I get this thing out of my chest, I can start cross-country skiing again. I can finally do the decathlon I've been waiting to do. I can finally start all that lumberjacking. This is going to be
like
great.
When I get my hip replacement, my doctor said, there are no limitations with this particular, this is a hip resurfacing. There are no limitations with this. I have active athletes. You can play ice hockey with this. Yeah. I'm like, that's fantastic. I was never able to before. didn't know how. But yeah, so it's a real catharsis being through all of that shit, and certainly happy to. And I made I made an announcement back in February or whatever about, you know, what I was facing, and I said, to your point, Larry, that, you know, I don't want to be, you know, Mr. Cancer, and this isn't what is going to define me. I'm going to get through this and move on or die. But I'm going to take a positive tack on this. And I, you know, I didn't give blow by blow updates on social media and so forth or on the radio. I just didn't want to be that known for that. Didn't want to be that person. But I did do the one update on social media on Thursday, and I just said, hey, here's a bunch of great news. Thanks for your support. And it was such an outpouring of support then and again now. And oddly, I think more people responded to my positive news than did to the negative news, which means everybody backs a winner.
Yeah.
nobody wants to be written. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's much harder to figure out what to say.
It's true. You know, what do you put a like on that?
Yeah.
I got cancer. Hey, like.
Ooh, somebody accidentally hits the laughing face and was like, oh crap, what does that mean?
Right.
Somebody puts a picture of an eggplant. Like what? I don't know. Yeah.
But no, it was really heartwarming, the support, and you know, I've come to believe, getting back to religion, and we've talked about this to some degree before. I'm pretty much an atheist, but I'm not I'm agnostic, I guess. I still believe there is a unifying energy to this universe. And if, you know, for lack of a better term, it's the force. And I think that if you poke it here, eventually you get poked there. And that, you know, scientists, they're now starting to examine the possibility of intention, you know, and the fact that, you know, the exertion of intention on something is can give a sort of life energy to things. You know, serious scientists are looking at, like, they've done experiments about that Japanese astrophysicist talking about energy in water. Like, you know, if you expose, you know, water to anger or you know, anxiety, there's some palpable, measurable difference somehow in it and so forth. Anywho.
Really?
I think that, I think that everyone's.
Where did you hear that? It's, so I can glare at water, and there's like they can measure my glariness in the water.
Well, you might be hurting the water's feelings. Yeah, we don't know.
Stupid water.
Look it up. Look it up. And you know what? George can call in with a 30-second summary of
that's
what that
my
is.
Church.
My point is that, you know, I don't. Nobody knows what happens when you die. Nobody knows what is ruling the universe. But I do think that there is some value in intention. And I think that even though I'm not someone who prays to a bearded white god in a flowing robe sitting on a throne,
don't you talk about
up in the sky, I do try to have intention and send good thoughts and hope that they transcend space and time and get to the people that are hurting. I think about them, and there is you know, some study around the notion that that sort of shit works and makes some sort of difference. Yeah. I certainly feel like there's a possibility for that, and I'm grateful for everyone's intention that was sent my way throughout all of this, because, you know, who knows what the outcome might have been otherwise, and maybe all that shit doesn't mean anything, but I certainly do appreciate
people
thinking
about me. Well, I certainly think there's something to your own personal intention, which was the fact that you made the decision that this was cancer did not define you, and it was impossible for you not to think about and to maybe dwell on at times and have those scary moments. But you forged ahead with life. Like you said, you didn't post constantly on social media. I think there's an element of if I dwell on it, then somehow it wins. But if I move forward, I was telling Charlotte the other day, because I saw your post on Facebook, and I told her the good news, and she was so happy for you, and she gives passes along her best wishes and happiness. And I told her, you know, I know this was not easy, because the way Andy described it, and we'd get off the podcast, and I'd go look this stuff up, and I'd be like, that's some heavy shit Andy's going through. And outside of your usual state of curmudgeonness, which we're all kind of used to, it wasn't like you were always bitching about it. It wasn't like you were dragging. You never canceled a podcast. You might have had some really down days where just the chemo kicked your ass. But I never saw you not be just present and in the moment, and clearly the thing was banging you up. But I never heard you say anything about how it was kicking your ass. So I think I was
a little high some of those times.
Well, that helps.
Join the club.
So positive attitude and pot.
Weren't we all?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
I think there's something to that.
There are people that were not as lucky as me. You know, like I said before, there was a guy that was diagnosed around the same time, similar thing, similar age, and things weren't working out for him for his treatment. And how close was I a month ago, you know, talking to doctors who, very serious people, who thought that the best course of action was to cut me open and have me in a hospital for a month, and to be at this point now. And, you know, we got to watch it and so forth, not out of the woods, but holy shit, it feels a lot better to have a win than to have a tie or a loss.
Yeah.
So
the next week's episode is we have to reluctantly announce that Andy was hit by a bus and we'll have to move on. It will be the one time Sam comes back. But
isn't that true? I feel great. I feel invincible. Whack. A block of blue ice falls off one of these fucking airplanes going over my house.
Don't ever leave the house again.
Hey, speaking of the house. I have been on a I have this new vitality.
Oh,
I have
shit.
This new
here's
found.
The downside.
The byproduct.
Do you know what I've done? You know what I've done already this morning?
He may be cancer free, but we've got our own parasite that was growing within us.
Already this morning, I replaced the ice maker in my refrigerator.
Oh.
Took apart the door of my refrigerator and replaced the ice maker, and it is functioning properly and working.
Well, good.
That's a little something.
Did you guys look did you look? Okay, go ahead.
Don't interrupt this. This is a tear. on a tear.
There's a list. Good. There's a list.
I fixed the curtain rod in our bedroom that the kids pulled down a few months ago, and I've just never had the chance to go back and I fixed that today. It's completely fixed. I also got on the phone to Apple and told Apple that my remote on my Apple TV 4K in the bedroom wasn't working. It was only working intermittently. They're sending me a new one. I'm getting that fixed.
How long did you stay on hold for that phone call?
Surprisingly, not a really? Long period of time. Yeah. I also replaced the roller wheels on the bottom rack of my dishwasher. All 8 of them.
Mind you, it's still early afternoon.
It's
what
still
time
early
did you
in
wake
the day.
Up? What time did you get
it's
up
still,
this morning?
I was going to say, it's like they say on those Army things. In the Army, we do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. I woke up at 9:01.
I was and up I've before accomplished, you.
I have accomplished all of these things in the intervening time. Ordered an extra garage door opener to have in the kitchen so we can open the gate when people come up because we've lost that one. I've did so many things. I feel invigorated. I'm feeling my oats.
I drove past your house twice today.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is true.
Down my street or just down my...
I pointed out to your house twice, right in front of your house.
Why did you do that?
Because we had a soccer game. And after the soccer game, I had to get a smog check. And the best smog check in all of Los Angeles is right down the street from your house. That Joe's Smog.
I did not know
that.
Yeah.
And it was
Joe's Smog just around the corner.
Yeah,
that's great.
I'll plug. If you're out in the valley and you need a smog check, that guy is the greatest. It takes 5 minutes. It's awesome. But I couldn't find it. And so I took a right on. I don't know.
Say his address.
By McDonald's. You know what I mean? And
I came up
that road and I had to do it twice. And I went, there's where Andy lives. There's where Andy lives. I was hoping to see the Chanleys out in the front yard.
You know what I also did this week? Last weekend, I get off the podcast with you guys and I go out to the car. Did I tell you about this?
Yes. You told us about this way too much.
In fact, did I tell you about it? No, I had a flat tire.
Oh.
I go out and I see my left rear tire was flat and I'm like, son of a bitch. What do I do with this? I had to get it fixed. I didn't have any time. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to do that, whatever. You know what I should do is I'll call AAA. I waited until like Monday and I call AAA and they take like 2 fucking hours. And I finally get on the horn with them again. I'm like, are they anywhere close? She says, yeah, he's coming. He'll be there soon. I said, well, just out of curiosity, do they plug tires? Will he plug it here? She's like, no, he'll change it for you. I'm like, I can fucking change it.
What do you think they're going to do? Fix it on site?
Yes, they used to do that.
No.
They would plug your tire. Yes, they would.
Yeah, they would.
They would plug right there. They had a plugging kit and they just punch the thing in there and pull it out and it's plugged. It's done. Yeah, no, they don't do that anymore. They'll help me change it. I don't want you to put the fucking donut on my Prius so I can limp down to the shop and get it fixed there. Can you just fix it? And they don't do that. I'm like, well, then skip it. Forget it. To call it off. And so I get out there on a Tuesday, I guess it was, with a rinky-dink jack that they include with your car.
Hold on. So you're telling me that maybe there is a chance that a nice Jack would have been helpful in this situation.
Yeah, but you were talking about having platforms.
No. This is exactly why I wanted to buy a Jack and some Jack stands.
You wanted to buy two Jack stands.
No, yeah, I wanted one Jack and two Jack stands.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's overkill. I just wanted to safely lift up the rear of my car and get the tire off. So I could go and get it plugged.
And a store-bought jack from AutoZone, which is exactly what I want, would have been a perfect job for this situation.
But isn't one included in your car? Don't you have one?
No, with that rinky-dink thing that you're talking about where you got to crawl underneath the car to get it out. Yeah, it's that stupid thing with the... Yeah, they're crap, but they work. Oh, but they're just,
it worked.
It's a pain in the ass.
It worked. I was able to get the thing off, took it down to the store, $10, plugged it, done. I'm back in business.
Here we go again, because I had a car issue Tuesday morning as well. When I walked out to my car to unlock it, pack it up, and head for L.A., dead as a doornail. Oh. Nothing doing. Not at all. Not a thing. And I didn't know what to do. And also, here's the other problem. I couldn't. I was driving the C-Max, and everything's electrical, but it has a little manual key. Well, that key got lost a long time ago. Mm. And then Alex lost the other fob somewhere, and I haven't found it. So I couldn't even get in to try. I mean, just I'm locked out of my car and can't do anything about it. Can't even pop the hood to try and, do anything myself. So I call AAA, and I'm thinking, how long is AAA going to take to get to frickin' Cambria? Where's the closest guy going to be on Tuesday commute time? And they said it will be 9:18, and he drives up like 2 minutes later. It's like, right, local Cambria towing. I didn't even know there was one. He came up, broke into my car, popped the hood, started it up. I was in business. It was
amazing. What happened?
I think somebody left the headlights on and let it drain out all night.
Mm-hmm. Who did that? Who would do that?
You know, I have one of those things that they have that they slide down their window and jack open your
Slim
car.
Jim?
Yeah, I got one time Cindy's car got towed. Fucking pricks. that Kmart that's across from the Grove, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Fairfax. Well, a Marshalls or something right beside it, and we parked in the Kmart walked over to Marshalls first, but we were going to Kmart, walked over to Marshalls, then went into Kmart, didn't get anything, came back out, and they towed our car because they thought we parked in Kmart and went to Marshalls. And I said, yeah, but we also went to Kmart. And he's like, well, where's your receipt? I'm like, I didn't buy anything. And he's like, well, whatever, not my fault. I'm like, you're an asshole. But so when we went and got our car back, they had left the black Slim Jim thing on our on our hood, and I was like, fuck you, I'm keeping it. So I kept it. So now, hey, anytime you guys get locked out of your car, give me a call. I'll think about coming over.
By the way, speaking, Josh, to your question a minute ago about they won't fix your tire.
Yeah.
I've got a good story. This reminded us, the flat tire reminded us of when we went to Hawaii, went to Kauai, like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And we're staying in Kauai on this tropical fruit farm. And we're staying in one of their little, cottages. And I come out to the rental car on this Sunday where we're planning on going to the beach, right? We're going to take a drive and go to the beach, and we have a day full of activities planned. Kids are ready to go. We're all heading out, and I go out and I see on the rental car, there's a flat tire. I'm like, shit, what do I do now? I'm in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's an hour and 15 minute drive from Lihue, the big town with the airport in Kauai. There's no way I'm going to find somebody to fix this. I get on my card out and I call AAA. And first of all, we talked to the woman who owns the farm, and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." She goes, "You're not going to find anybody to do that." She goes, "It's going to be number one. There's no place open on Sunday, and good luck getting them to drive out here on Monday even to do this. I don't know what to really tell you about
just
this. Your best bet is Monday to do it. Well, I don't have, where am I going to buy a patch kit? There's no auto parts store.
There's a spare on there. There's got to be a spare in the car.
Perhaps there was a donut, but I can't ride a donut around you can't go over 35 miles an hour on that thing. What am I going to do?
Well, it's better than just the car sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, but it's not safe to put all the kids in there and take a drive around an island. I don't know when I can only go 35 miles an hour on a road where people are zipping by. It just didn't seem safe, God damn it, Josh.
I don't think I've ever called AAA to replace a tire in a car. That's
can I tell you this magical
move.
Fucking story I'm trying
ahead.
To tell you?
Go ahead.
You
sounds,
sure?
Sounds
I'll give
like
you a minute
of your story.
If you'd like to shit on it just a little more, here's your dais. Stand on your little
me,
platform
my tires
and tell
flat.
Me what a dumb
I don't
asshole
know what the
I
hell
am
because
I can't fix anything. Christ.
Get a jack stand.
You're a jack stand. What I'm trying to tell you is that a Hawaiian god came out of nowhere and saved us that day. Pele or Maui came and saved our asses that day. Yes, Dwayne The Rock Johnson saved us. So she says, you're not going to have any luck with this. I get on my card and I get on the phone and I call AAA. And that woman says the same thing. The dispatcher, she's like, I'm really sorry. She goes, I hate to tell you this, but there's no one working today that I'm aware of. And Sunday is usually they don't send out anybody. Perhaps tomorrow we'll have better luck if you can wait. And you know, then maybe somebody can be sent out and give you a hand. Otherwise, I know tomorrow the rental car company will be around and they can send somebody out. So I'm thinking that there's no chance. I get off the phone with her. 5 minutes later, a car pulls up, a pickup truck pulls into the property and is coming down the road. I'm looking over, you know, off in the distance. I'm like, well, maybe it's, you know, one of her family or something. They come around to where we are and pulls right up. And this big Samoan guy gets out of the driver's side, comes out and he said, you call AAA? I said, yeah, but they told me there wasn't anybody even in Lihue that was on duty today. So I'm surprised to see you. He goes, oh yeah, I just happened to be driving down the highway here. And I saw the dispatch come through on my phone. So I just happened to be in the area. It's crazy luck. I'm like, yeah, okay. That's fantastic. He goes, let me see. Okay, there it is. Yeah, let's see if we can plug it. He pulls the tire off, plugs the thing right there, puts it back on. And I try to give him some money. He's like, no, I won't take it. I won't take it. Thank you. You know, have a good trip. Have a good time with your family. Gets in his truck and drives away.
Hold on. When he was driving away, did he slowly disappear? like Pale Rider?
The woman at the farm said, why, that young man died 20 years ago.
On this very day.
Exactly. That was the story I told. Red Sovine, Phantom 309. Yeah. He died in a horrible accident trying to dodge a school bus.
He was driving down on a donut going 37 miles per hour and his car exploded into fire.
Hey, we got 6 phone calls.
Oh my gosh. We got also, we'll never get to them. We got a record number of Yafsack emails. I've never seen this many come in.
Is this regarding?
They're everything, but okay. I will tell you, I can just tell you from a quick scan that Cat Daddy. Struck a nerve with Cat Daddy.
I think so.
That's a character that's going to have to recur in our podcast because we've got, I mean, make Josh gag had its time, but I think this is the era of the Cat Daddy.
Yeah, I think there's a mention of Cat Daddy in here, but the first phone call, this is from last Tuesday. This is, I can't remember his name. This is the guy who, what story did we tell? He drank Chardonnay and cigarillos and was outside of the bar. It was
a truck
driver. Yeah.
Okay, I think he sent us an email as well.
He was driving his truck.
The guy, He was catching up on 4 years of the podcast.
Right, right, right.
So this is the first one to share with you guys. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, guys. Todd from SoCal. Hey, I'm finally in the same year as you guys. We're all in 2021. I'm a couple, 3-4 months behind you. I'm working on it. You guys are taking lots of days off, it seems like. Seems like we've kind of slowed it down to once every 2 weeks. It's going to make it quicker for me to catch up with you. I'm listening to Andy talk about some crazy van he wants to build. He wants a toilet, a shower, a bidet, you know, walk-in closet, push-out compressors, generators, upstairs, downstairs, and, you know, hanging chandeliers in the foyer all in this van. I guess he'll get it done. I'm wearing my uniform. I've told you what it looks like already, so I won't tell you again. What I will tell you is that this is what a truck horn sounds like in Torrance.
Ooh.
I'm eventually going to catch up with you guys.
But that sounded like a threat.
I feel like that blowing of the horn was a shot across the bow to the other truck driver. What was it? Who's the other truck driver?
Trucker Joe.
I feel like that was just a almost a challenge, a slap in the face.
Hold on. We've got 5 phone calls to go. Okay. Let's see. I don't see names here, but let's see. Maybe we'll hear from him.
Well, can I follow up on Todd's call? Because he emailed this as well.
Sure. Yeah. And by the way, we skipped a couple of weeks, Todd, because I had a thing called cancer.
Yeah. No excuse now, buddy.
Nope.
You can't play that card anymore.
Todd emailed us because we had a whole backstory on Todd because we did not listen to all his other messages, remember?
Oh, right, right. We skipped.
So I hope that's not the other 5 calls you got waiting for you. But Todd did write us and said, I'm a local truck driver. I go home every night. My first call was on a Saturday, one of my days off, and I hadn't yet gone into the bar. So he was sitting outside. Also, he's a barefoot white Zinfandel guy. Oh, Todd. I think our story was better.
See, now. Yeah, I was going to guess cupcake sellers, but all right.
He said he didn't like Chardonnay, so.
Barefoot is his brand.
He does have a pretty good name for Andy's van. We've had a couple of different people try and name it, but he thinks it could be called Andy's Vanley.
Wow.
Andy's Vanley. Okay. So he has officially caught up. He said he listened to the most recent show the day he wrote this, the day it was released. So he is now officially caught up. So welcome, Todd, to the present. All right.
Being in the moment's a gift. That's why they call it the present. All right, here we go. Little Ted Lasso for you.
One of those every show. Go ahead.
That's a Ted Lasso. All right, let's move ahead here. You ready?
Yep.
Hey, guys. Machinist Dan from Southwest Washington. The Cat Daddy's post on the social media there, and that's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Great show today, too, by the way. Anyway, I want to tell you this. I told you all that crap just to tell you this. In May of 2017, I lost my mom the day before my birthday. In September of that year, I discovered these clowns that used to be on the old Mark in the Morning show, and you guys made me laugh. So, thank you. Thank you very much. And good job, Andy. And we knew that was going to happen. So, take care, everybody. Love you. Great show.
That's nice.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Dan.
I love that now people are just firing off whatever they have around them in the background. Yeah. I think that would almost be mandatory. Like if you're driving, you got to beep your horn. If you've got a cordless drill, you do that a couple times. Just
I'm Seamstress Wendy. whatever you got. Whatever you got, share it with us. That's fantastic. This is an auditory medium, so a little sound goes a long way. That's sweet, Dan. Sorry for your loss. That's something you'd never get over, but nice. Nice that this meaningless bullshit somehow buoys your spirits.
Exactly.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Sure.
All right. Here we go.
Is this a request line for 103.9, The Whisker? great. Hey, I'd like to give a shout out to Cat Daddy and his son on the son's birthday. I'm sure he's growing up just like you, Cat Daddy. If you could play Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, that would be great. Also love hearing that Cat Daddy is cancer-free. Keep playing those cat hits, and remember, don't let the cat scratch the vinyl. This is George from Long Beach.
Here we go.
Thank you, George. Nice. Meow, 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 everybody. It's the Cat Daddy.
All right.
And my kid is just like me. You know why? Because I'm his paw.
Guys,
no?
You need to check your phones right now. I just texted you something from Yaffer David A., who actually took some time to draw his version of the Cat Daddy. We will post this on the Your Artificial Friends Facebook page.
You have no idea how much that looks like the mug. That is fucking great.
Yeah. It's Dave from Riverside.
Oh,
he couldn't resist the chance to draw up and show you his version of that hit Cat Daddy. He also says congrats on being cancer free. We knew you'd kick that cancer's ass.
His picture is so great.
It's so
zoom in on it. The necklace has a CD on it for Cat Dad.
Go
Cat
to our
Daddy
Facebook page. We'll have Aaron post that because it's too freaking good. We may have to put that on one of the coffee mugs that we'll have stuck.
The microphone flags is 100.3 the bone.
It's so good.
So good.
That is
David.
Who did that?
David from Riverside.
Dude, holy shit.
Is that fantastic? Yeah. Cat Daddy is here to stay. I have a feeling.
He put more effort into this picture than anything we've ever done on this show.
Ever. Ever. Holy God. That is great. That is just great.
Best.
All right. Moving on with another phone call here.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, it's Ron from Claremont. Hey, I'm getting caught up on your shows. I'm a bit behind, so this comment pertains to September 9th. In regards to Andy's van that he wants to build, I'm thinking now that he's beaten cancer, he can also become a motivational speaker, and then maybe he can move into that van and live in a van down by the river. Oh, wait a minute. Andy can become our very own Matt Foley motivational speaker, if anyone remembers the Saturday Night Live skit. All right. Hope you guys are doing well. Have a good one.
Nice. Thanks for that, Ron.
Are you just going to leave the van white, like cargo white?
Oh, you know what I love? I love black. I think black is...
Oh, then you got to get flames like Edward Scissorhands and have the flames on the front of the van, right? You got to do that.
Some cool pinstriping sort of thing going on? I'm hip to that.
Yeah, no, I think, that slanted lettering that says Cat Daddy and lightning bolt or something.
Oh, no. You got to have like a jaguar prowling on the side of it, like on a mountain.
No, it says Cat Daddy, and it looks like there's been cat claws scratched across the background.
There was a kid up my street. There were a couple of kids up there. They were the hooligans in the neighborhood when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And
ne'er-do-wells, thugs?
High school. Yeah. Scofflaws. And one of them got one of those horns that do a whole bunch of different songs, like La Cucaracha, the General Lee thing and all that. The other guy, he got a loudspeaker that he put in there and put the speaker under the horn so he could go around and talk. That's what I need. Oh, that's what I need for the band is I can go around and I need to have little ears. And whiskers drawn on the kid.
No joke. When I was a kid, I went to a babysitter, and her son, who was probably like 20, 21 at the time, had a van with all of those products installed in it and was definitely carpeted and everything in the back. And and he took me for a ride in it. And he actually built, I don't know, this guy, now I think about it, has probably lived one of the craziest lives I can think of. He built the General Lee, right? He built a replica of it, and he would take that.
The Dukes of Hazzard orange charger.
And he welded the doors shut, and he would take the shows, and he had like all these trophies, right, from winning that. Then he got rid of that, and I think he built a replica of the Love Bug. And then he did that. And then he built this van, which I think that was his like keeper vehicle. But on the side, he also was a photographer for wrestling magazines.
So he would go around,
like the Western Pennsylvania in the early 80s, that was like a huge wrestling circuit. And like you'd see some, like a lot of those big matches were always held at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh. He would go down there and get ringside, like a pass, and shoot, take pictures. And then you would see them in those wrestling magazines like a month later. He would have his name on it. And
wow,
what a, talk about a crazy life. How do you get into being a wrestling photographer?
You know, there were so many copies of the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard around the, I think they had like 13 or 14 that they used for production for the show. And then they'd jump it over shit.
And they just mangled
bit the frames and all of them. Yeah. But you know that there were versions of that copycats all across the country. I mean, I would imagine a significant proportion of those particular Dodge Chargers were turned orange, bright orange, and painted with the Confederate flag on it. How many of those people that own those these days are like,
maybe that.
That's kind of a reminder of antebellum South and slavery, isn't it? Maybe I better not drive that.
They just painted it black and turned it into the Fast and Furious car.
I have a feeling that anybody who invested any time in restoring any car that looked like the car from the Dukes of Hazzard probably doesn't have a problem with the Confederate flag. Okay,
well, mind you, this was the 80s. This isn't now. This is when the show was at the peak of its...
And I thought that car was bitching. I mean, I never looked at it and thought,
I still think
it's
bitching. I don't like the paint job, but I mean...
The grill,
is that 72 Charger? It's a 69 Charger. 72 is the longer one.
That particular grill of that car was really
headlights.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Those cars are fucking huge. You don't really...
It looked like the BMW 7 Series from the mid 90s. They're just that cool shark looking front.
Those cars are so you forget that was back when all the automakers were making these gigantic tank vehicles.
Boats. Yeah,
and that car was a hot rod, but it was also like 17 and a half feet long. You know what I mean? My roommate had a 72 Charger and a white cargo van, and the 72 Charger was like 2.5 feet longer than the white cargo van.
No, you could have, I mean, the back seat was like a small studio apartment in LA. Yeah. Massive. I mean, leg room for miles. Yeah. Wow. I had a Ford LTD, 1974 LTD is my first car, and that thing was a freaking tank. It was just massive.
You turn the wheel as you're driving down the road just a little bit one way or the other, and it would like tilt. You did feel like you were in a boat.
No, I had that suspension, that power steering, man.
It's like,
it was like
hood emblem. Hood emblem is like 14 feet away from your head. The front hood is so long, you could just like lay on top of it, spread out, and not touch anything.
And I'll bet that LTD, I bet it had at least 400 horsepower.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't built for any sort of speed, but it just in order
but
just
to
for
carry
that
steel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It had to have that kind of engine just to make it move. And it had some, I mean, it was a sedan. It was a grown-up, sedan, but it was it could get up and go, man. It could
My
get
brother
going.
Gave me he got
9 miles per gallon. I
think. My brother handed me down his 73 Chevrolet Caprice Classic.
Oh,
400 small block engine. That thing barked him off the line up until the day I drove it to the junkyard.
Wasn't that a police favorite? Wasn't that what the Caprice Classics?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I think
that
time were?
Yeah. Before they switched over to Caprice. It was Caprice Classic. Yep. That's right. And they kept using the Caprice. And then they went to, Gran Torinos or whatever?
I don't know. Now I think
they switched over to Ford later in the...
Yeah.
All right. Got two more calls here.
Hey, guys. It's Trucker Joe.
Yes.
Anyways, I wanted to give you a call and say, tell Andy that I was very happy to read that he is cancer-free. That is wonderful news, and I'm sure your listeners are happy about that. And number two is my favorite Saturday morning cartoon was Milton the Monster.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys remember that one or not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a few years older than you. I just turned 60 this year, so... Anyways, guys, I hope you're having a great week, And what about those Steelers, Josh?
Come on.
Holy crap.
1-1.
Anyways, you guys have a good one.
I know Milton the Monster? 6 drops of Essence of Terror.
Oh, no.
5 drops of Sinister Sauce. When the stirring's done, may I lick the spoon? Of course, ha-ha, of course. Now for a tincture of tenderness, but I must use only a touch, for without a touch of tenderness, he might destroy me. Oops, too much. Better hold your hand, I'm feeling sick. Oh, God, I love that show.
I don't remember that one at all.
Milton the Monster? Oh, he comes out and he's like this doofus.
It's like a Frankenstein type?
Yeah, he comes out and he's like... Hey, everybody! You know, he's like, he meant to build this horrible monster, and he comes out, and it's just, I'm Milton, you're Brat Newsome. He's,
wow.
it's like the male equivalent of Kristen Wiig in those Lawrence Welk send-ups they do on Saturday Night Live. I'm only allowed
upstairs. It's like a monster Gomer Pyle.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's wow. And it's so
that
good.
One, I totally missed that one. Wow.
Oh my God, I love that. Yeah, good call, Trucker Joe. Okay, we've got one last call here, but Larry, in order to air this call, I need you to air something.
Understood.
Low energy bite. Bark. Low energy bite.
You heard me play it, right?
Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. The weather here in this part of the country has been just wonderful. Lows in the 40s, highs in the 70s. We even got a couple of days of rain last weekend. A little over half an inch. Went to go mountain biking Sunday morning. About the time I got to the mountain, it started pouring rain. So we went to L.J. Brewski's for breakfast. This is a big treat for me. They only have breakfast on Sunday morning. Quit serving before I get done mountain biking. I had a half order of biscuit and gravy with a couple of eggs and an extra sausage patty. It was excellent. I don't usually eat this kind of stuff. I eat NSNG. That's no sugar, no grains. But what the hell? Gotta have a bellyache once in a while. Later in the afternoon, after a nice nap, and the weather mostly cleared, I went back to Mira and rode not quite 10 miles. Ozzy was a happy, muddy dog. Good times for a ditch-digging man. Talk to you later.
Wow. This has been an all-star Yaff calls.
I was going to say.
It really has.
It's
definitely one of our better ones.
The highlights. And we haven't heard from Low Energy Mike in a while, if I remember correctly.
Speaking of which, can you close up?
Sure. That was Low Energy Mike.
That was wonderful.
Man.
Yeah. Sounds good.
My dad always quoted a commercial. I remember... what was the biscuits? Hungry Jack. Gobble them down and the plate comes back full Hungry Jack. Hungry Jack biscuits. My dad used to quote a commercial that was before my time. I didn't remember, but it was like for biscuits. And it was like, how many biscuits did you eat, Grandpa? And he goes, 7. That was how the commercial ended.
Yeah, my mom used to always quote. She'd always get pissed off and scream, "Calgon, take me away!"
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
You remember those commercials?
Oh yeah!
Calgon, take me away!
Some ancient Chinese secret.
Oh man!
that's it would be racist as hell if they weren't somehow vaguely Asian doing that commercial. Larry, did you have other
there are so many if you want to go through them, but we could always save them. We're pushing up against a heart out, as we always have on these podcasts.
That's what she said.
Peter sent along photos of an advanced RV new camper van box on a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. I can forward that to you.
Ooh.
People really encouraging you to get going
they
on
want
this
me
van
to do
plan.
It. They want me to do it. People, this is what the people want.
They want the Vandy.
By the way, I forgot to tell you, the phone number, if you want to call, is 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428. Or there's a mnemonic device to make it easier. O, amok, PM, hat.
But I want to compliment you on your mane. It looks just starting to get full.
Thanks. Yeah, real salt and peppery up there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Thanks a bunch. It's real white on the sides. I'm feeling very Leslie Nielsen on the sides. Yeah. More Frank Sinatra 1972 on the top.
I was going to say a little Bob Barker in there.
Remember to spay and neuter your pets.
Exactly.
Larry, what's that Yafsack number in case people have an email they want to send to the show?
Yeah, you can shoot your fan letters to the Cat Daddy and make sure he hears them at yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at the Larry Morgan.
Meow, meow, meow. Let's see, what was I going to say? Oh, if you check out this podcast, it's, I guess, where most podcasts are found. I don't know anything about this kind of end of the business because I've never actually tried to be a responsible podcaster. But I guess if you follow it or subscribe to it, somehow that makes that's a little feather in our cap.
Yeah, well, yeah. Rate it. I mean, rate
that
it too.
That just lets you know. I mean, obviously, if you subscribe to it, then you keep getting it in whatever form. You're not that dumb, are you, Andy? I mean, so but it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. So it's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. It is on iHeartRadio. It is pretty much everywhere you would find your favorite podcasts and this one. And if you rate it, and hopefully you give it 5 stars, please, and a little review, it helps other people find it. And we also have our Your Artificial Friends Facebook page. Follow us there. We post all sorts of fun stuff, including a fantastic new portrait that will definitely get slapped on our merchandise. Your Artificial Friends Facebook page. And thank you, David, again for that incredible drawing.
It is so great. Hey, God, guys, I love that.
We haven't done a music episode in a while. Do we want to do one next week?
I was just thinking about that, actually. I was going to suggest, because ever since we did...
Cartoon themes was the last one.
Remember when we did dumb lyrics and great songs? Now I'm hearing stupid lyrics all the time. And it just, I don't want to do that one again, but it occurred to me we hadn't done a music one. But when I was hearing Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith the other day, and he sings, "You can't catch me because the rabbit done died." I'm like, oh, shit, really? And then "It's No Use, He Sees Her." He starts to shake and cough, just like the old man in that book by Nabokov. Come on, Sting. Yeah, exactly. Come on, dude.
Fine, you read fancy books we don't know about. You're super smart.
It's not
Sting.
Easier to say Lolita than that book. Could by you rhyme Nabokov? With that?
Anyway, we had talked about like great intros. We could do something for the fall. We could do prepare for our Halloween episode.
I like the intros.
I like fall. Okay. Fall's nice.
Well, songs that remind you of the problem with fall is we got. I feel like the Halloween one is the fall one. Don't you feel that way?
Halloween kind of conjures the novelty song, but a fall song is a song that is evocative of the season of fall.
All right, so I have to research my favorite fall Alice in Chains song.
Yes. Exactly. Right. Yeah, let's plan
it's
on
a,
doing that.
It's a little esoteric, but I think we could figure it out. Yeah, something that puts you in the mind of autumn.
I like that.
All right.
I like it.
I'm gonna have a problem with this one. This is tough. I'm already.
Yeah, I know, because it's weird. He always picks the weird ones. Weird ones.
Now that I'm in the fall of my life.
But he's cancer-free, I guess he gets to do
it. Well, he's cancer-free, so now we can give him shit again. So, no, we're not doing this, Andy.
Well, it's not like this is my make-a-wish or something. That's...
Yeah, it is. You blew it. This is your make-a-wish.
Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
I already said on the Instagram,
joshuajfringer@gmail.com.
We already covered that territory.
Okay, well, we've got a Yafcrap store, too. You go to yafcrap.com and you find some wonderful things if you're interested. And yes, we will try to. We've got to get permission, but that has to be on to something.
Yeah, we have to ask David if we can do it. Maybe we'll give him a cut of the barely any money that you make on that. But we have to come up with a Cat Daddy coffee mug.
Yeah. Absolutely. God, I love it. I'm on the Instagram at Andy Chanley. And I'm on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley, and on Twitter at Andy underscore Chanley.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast.
This one right here.
We're artificial friends.
So long, everybody. So long, cat daddies.
Beep, bop, boop, beep, boop, hallelujah.
Amen.
Omen.
Play ball.